What we're doing is we're looking at verses of the Bible that have been misquoted. And this is our, fourth week? Fourth week, I think. We looked at, and here's the big one. God won't put more on you than you can bear. Not in the Bible. It's misquoted. And what it says, that God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. There's total difference in the way that's quoted. One indicates that it's God putting the bad stuff on you. The other one says that it's coming from somewhere else, but God is the one who's going to see you through it and give you a way to overcome it. That's a huge, huge difference. I found a couple of quotes this week. I put them on Facebook. And I really like these. First one is, if our concept of God is wrong, our theology is dangerous. If your concept of God is wrong, your theology is dangerous. You won't pray right. You won't make right choices. Because if you think God's your problem, that affects your whole relationship with God. If you see God as the one who's causing all the chaos in the earth, then that affects the way that you view the world. That affects the way that you view your life. That affects the way that you see God. Wednesday night, we're doing a series called Who Needs God? And it's an Andy Stanley series. And one of the things that we talked about was guilt God. A lot of people have a concept of God as guilt God. And I think a lot of us has dealt with that, because there was a time in my life I really didn't think God liked me that much. Because I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? If you are, we'll cast the devil out of you. Because you're lying. That lying spirit out of you. Because no, or deceived. No, we're not perfect. God's perfect and we're not perfect. And how could He love me? And I always felt guilty, and I always thought that God just tolerated me. But He doesn't. See, if your concept of God is wrong, your theology becomes dangerous. It affects your relationship with God. So we need to get our concept of God right. And then our theology will be right. Then we'll speak right, we'll act right, we'll look towards God in a right manner, and our relationship will be better with Him. And that's what we're after. The second quote was, God is not doing something to you, but rather through you and for you. See, a lot of times if you think that God is the one who's doing it to you, it affects the way that you react towards God. Bad things do not come from God. Jesus said, reckon Jesus knew what He was talking about. That's the first thing we need to. Did Jesus know what He was talking about? I think He did, don't you? And He said, the thief. Who's the thief? Is God the thief? The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. When you understand that, and that shapes your concept of God, It affects the way that you relate to God. If I see Him, one that's always judging me. Now, He is our judge. I don't want to say that God don't judge. He does. He is our judge. We'll all stand before God, and there will be a judgment. But we're always thinking that God's condemning us. Condemning us. Now, He convicts us of sin when we're wrong. But there's a different than conviction. See, what the conviction of sin does, it just tells you that you're not on the right path. And that if you need to get back on the path, because the sin path that you're going down is going to cause chaos in your life. It's going to cause trouble in your life. It's not God condemning you, it's God trying to bring you back into the way of life. In the way of life. But if you see God is doing it to you, then it affects your whole, your theology becomes dangerous, because you won't be able to relate to God in a true way. So God is not doing something to you, but rather through you and for you. God is with you every time that you go through something. I don't care what it is. If it's bad, He didn't do it to you. But He's there for you to work in you and through you and for you on your behalf. And when you turn your heart towards Him in a trusting manner, He's able to do so much more for us, and we'll come out better. The book of Job. Remember we talked about Job. Job had the idea that it was God that was taken away from him. But if you read the book of Job and you see behind the scenes, we see that it was an attack of Satan. Job didn't have a Bible. He didn't understand that. And it was an attack of the enemy. Did God allow it? Yeah, God allows everything that happens in the earth. He allows it to happen. Doesn't mean that He commissions it. That doesn't even mean that He wants it. Sometimes we choose it, and He lets our choices take fruit. But that doesn't mean that He's for it. Okay, we need to understand that about God. He gave us choice, and when we choose something, there's consequences that come with our choices. Sometimes the enemy attacks us. Does God allow that to happen? Yes, He allows that to happen. But He's always there to work on our behalf in us and through us and working for us so that we can come out better people on the other side of the deal. And so we need to see that about God. Today we're going to talk about something that I think is very difficult. Have you ever heard someone say, "That's just my cross to bear"? That's just my cross to bear. And they're referring to something in their life. And they say, "Well, that's just my cross to bear." Actually, that is a misquotation. They don't understand what the cross that we're supposed to bear. Are we supposed to bear a cross? Yes. But a lot of times we don't realize what that cross is. So first of all, I want to tell you what the cross is not. Okay? Number one, it's not a burden. It's not a burden. Sometimes we have a burden for certain things in our life. There are people that God has put a burden on their heart for lost people. Then there's people who have a burden for abused children, or single moms, or abused mothers, or maybe a country that God puts a burden on your heart for particular things. Can I just tell you, that's not a cross. That's an assignment. Whether it be a prayer assignment, or whether it be an assignment where you go and raise funds to help with that, or whether you directly get involved. So that has to do with purpose. Has nothing to do with a cross. Now, the way that you carry your cross may determine the way that you fulfill your purpose. But there's a big difference, see? So a burden is not a cross. It's a purpose or an assignment. It's something that God puts on your heart because He wants to do something through you and for you and be a blessing to other people. The second thing it is not is a strained relationship. Your spouse is not your cross to bear. Okay? Well, this difficult marriage I have, it's just my cross to bear. No, 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 no. You chose to bear that turkey. That's not something that God put on you as a cross. You chose it. Okay? What you need to do is work through it. But that's not a cross. That's a choice. There's a difference in a cross and a choice. Maybe it's a difficult child. Does anybody ever have any difficult children? Don't be nudging nobody. Yeah. Maybe you are a difficult child. No. But that's not a cross to bear. But your cross that you bear may determine how you resolve those relationship issues in your life. See, whatever Jesus bore on His cross is not our cross. The reason that He bore His cross was to take away the things in our life and pay the price for the things that we can't take away. Like sin, like addiction, like all these other things in our lives. Those are the things that Jesus bore on His cross, but those things are not your cross. You have a cross to bear, but it has nothing to do with what He bore on His cross. Sin is not your cross to bear. That was His cross to bear. Are you out there? Are you listening? Are you soaking? Or are you just bored? Okay. Sometimes you just got to find out what's happening among the brethren. So it's not a strained relationship. It's not a burden. It's also not a thankless job. Well, I'm stuck in this job, and I hate my job. It's just my cross to bear. No, it's not. There's some folks who wish they had a job. But we need to look at our jobs a little bit different. Maybe we'll do some teaching along this. You need to see your job as an opportunity. Your job is not about where you work. It's not about the company that you work for. It's not even about what you do. Your job should be a ministry. It should be a form of worship to God. You need to see yourself as not working for the company or the organization that you work for. You work for God. And if we have a job, we don't need to be thankless. We need to be thankful. And we need to know that within every job that we have, there are opportunities that we have to touch people. And God is about people. I can't go on your job and minister to the people that you work with. But guess what? You can. You can be a difference maker wherever it is that you work. You ought to be the greatest blessing to your employer. You ought to be the greatest blessing to the people that you deal with in business. You ought to be phenomenal as a believer in the job that you're doing. You ought to go beyond. I hear people say all the time, well, they pay me $10 an hour and I'm going to work at $10 an hour. Guess what you're going to be making the rest of your life? $10 an hour, because you're probably not even worth that. Go beyond. Go above. And guess what? You'd be surprised at what God does for you. Okay. So it's not a thankless job. Here's the other thing that it's not. It's not a physical illness. What about Paul? Well, we talked about that last week. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not necessarily a physical ailment. That has been eisegeted into that verse. Exactly what it says that was a messenger of Satan. Where did that come from? It was a messenger of Satan. Does God hand out devils? Does God assign devils to attack believers? Did God allow it? Yes, He did. Maybe because of Paul's conceit that he allowed certain things to happen. He didn't commission it. God allows a lot of things in life because of things that are going on in our life that are not right. But it had nothing to... His thorn in the flesh was not a physical deal. Paul had a great assignment. He was given the assignment to bring the revelation of the new covenant into the earth. To write 2/3 of the New Testament. If you were the devil, who would you attack? Paul. Everywhere he went, it was a revival or a riot. It was a party or prison. And sometimes both. He got hammered everywhere. In fact, that word buffet means to slap with an open hand. He got hammered everywhere he went. And he said, God, do something about this. And God said, you know what, Paul? My grace, what is grace? It's God's willingness to use His power on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, he says, listen, Paul, when you are at your weakest, then I'm at my strongest. And Paul says, you know what? I'm going to glory that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. because the power of Christ rests on me. Paul understood something. And he overcame and was a blessing to humanity. And he finished his course despite what came at him. He carried his cross, but his cross was not whatever it was that was attacking him. So what is it? Let's read Luke 9, 23. We're going to pop some scripture up here. And he said to them, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, anyone desires to come after me. When we come to the Lord, we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Many times we have in our mind the ideal, what I'm doing is I'm praying a prayer so I won't go to hell. That is very, very little about what God wants to do. He wants you to more than miss hell. Can I say that again? We have a heaven-hell consciousness. God has a greater glory consciousness. God's wanting to do something in you. And I've had people come to me and say, yeah, I need to get saved. Okay, praise God. And I try to explain to them, this is not a get-out-of-hell card. Okay? It's bigger than that. You're giving your life to Him. You're going to follow Him. This is what this is about. This is not just a get-out-of-hell card. Oh, yeah, I understand that. You lead them to Christ, you baptize them in water, and you never see them again. Because they have in their mind, okay, I'm okay now. And they go out and they live any way they want to, and they miss the whole deal. God wants to do so much more in your life than you just miss hell. See, the greatest end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him fully. The Westminster Catechism says that. The greatest end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God. So if I'm going to glorify God, it's more than just desiring to come after Him. The next phrase says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. All right, let's break this down. Let's look at the word deny. This is an interesting word. This is a very difficult word. Because the word deny there means to turn away, to turn someone away. Who are we supposed to turn away? Who are we supposed to turn away? What does it say in that verse? To deny himself. So who are we supposed to turn away? Self. How do I do that? That's confusing. How do I turn myself away? We'll get to that in just a sec. It also means to, this is more confusing, to refuse to associate with. Okay, I'm supposed to turn myself away and refuse to associate with myself. That's a little bit odd. It's a little bit odd. Then it goes a step further. It says to disown someone. So who are we supposed to disown? Ourself. All right, let me give you some insight. There are three Greek words that are translated life. Because it one place it says, he who seeks to save his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. There are three Greek words for life. It's bios, psuche, and zoe. Bios, guess what English word we get out of bios? Biography. Biography. The study of biology, not biography. Biology. 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 Okay, I hope I didn't say that first service. It's the study of the human person. It has to do with the physical, the DNA and all of the structure of the human body. The second one is Zoe, which is eternal life. Jesus came that you might have Zoe. That's life. Life as God has it. That's the that's not only about the longevity of life, it's about the quality of life. It's the spiritual life. Then there's this word stuck in the middle called suke, and that is the word for self. Self. Let me give you another word that goes right along with that. Selfish. Selfish. So what is Jesus saying? We have to deny one kind of life. Guess which one it is? It's not this one. You can't get away from this unless you die. We're seeking the higher life. So in order to walk in the higher life, what are we going to have to deal with? The self life. The selfish life. What does that look like? That is when I seek what I want. When I seek what I desire. When I'm controlled by what we call selfish. And a lot of times we think that has to do with greed. Sometimes it has to do with fear. Fear. See, the way that you deal with your cross will determine how you will function towards your destiny. And there's a lot of people that cannot do the things that they were called to do because of fear. Fear is selfish. Fear is suke. Fear is in the lower realm. There's a lower life, which is the life of self, self-gratification, self-desire, self all of this. And then there's the higher life, which is the spiritual life, the eternal life. And it says that we're going to, in order to do this, we're going to have to not associate, we're going to have to turn away from, we're going to have to disown this lower life. Now, Jason handed me an acrostic for fear. And see, F-E-A-R, F, failures, E, emotions, A, anger, our resentment. That's all lower life. And we have to deal with that lower life. That is the lower life that this is talking about. When we seek our own selfish ways, we wind up losing it. See, when I act what I want at the expense of someone else, it causes damage. And when we live a selfish lifestyle, we will never accomplish the things that we were designed to accomplish. So we got to deal with this thing called self, this lower life. That's what we need to disown. That's what we're going to have to take up the cross. Because the next thing he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. What is a cross? A cross is an instrument of death. Jesus died on a cross. The enemy of Rome. Romans didn't die on crosses. Their enemies did. Jesus died on a cross. Your enemy, which is yourself, needs to die daily on a cross. Now, you were born again. You have eternal life. But guess what you still have? You still have the power to choose your actions. You can act on that lower life, or you can act on that higher life. What is our natural inclination? Lower. To act in fear. Well, I couldn't do that, Lord. What would they think of me? Higher life or lower life? Low life. Low life. Am I going to accomplish anything by thinking that way? There are Christians who are paralyzed because they won't take up the cross. They let fear control them. They let low self-esteem control them. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, self, self, self. take up your cross. You're going to have to die on that cross daily. Can I just tell you, my biggest problem is not sitting over here on this front row. That's one of my biggest blessings. I did good, didn't I? That's true, though. It's absolutely the truth. My biggest problem is not you. My biggest problem is not my circumstances, my situations. My biggest problem is the one I look at every morning when I look in the mirror. Me, self. And I have to deal with self every day. And you're going to have to deal with self every day that you live. But guess what you got to do? You got to take up that cross. And self has to die daily. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. He says, look at that last part. I die daily. He wasn't talking about physically. We are dying daily, physically. But he says, you know what I got to do? I got to die daily. Paul was smart. He was very intelligent. Evidently, he had a little bit of an ego problem. He could be overwhelming. His personality was very strong. See, a lot of times your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. So he had to die to that. He had to humble himself. You know what Jesus did when he came to earth? The Bible says that he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. Now, did he need to do that? No, he didn't need to do that for him, but he did that for us. And listen, if the Son of God could humble himself, why can't we humble ourselves? Why can't we take up our cross? Why can't we not choose to follow him daily by denying our own selfishness? You say, yeah, but what's going to happen to me if I don't take care of myself? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me read some more. Oh, the next thing he says, and follow me. So we got to do three things. We got to deny, take up, and follow. For whosoever desires to save his suke will lose it. But whoever loses his suke for my sake will save it. That don't mean go to heaven when you die. That means God will redeem your natural life. What did it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What shall we wear? What shall we drink? What shall we eat? What shall we put on? How am I going to pay my electric bill? How am I going to pay these bills? He says, if you'll put my kingdom first and not your own self-interest first, I'll add all of that to you. God wants to bless your suke. But listen, you can't control your life by yourself. You're not that smart. You'll make decisions based on desire. You'll make decisions based on wrong impulses. We need a higher being that can direct our lives, and He has given us principles that we can turn to, and they can be the guiding principles of our life that causes us to not always do what we want to do. If you're in a strained relationship and it's strained, sometimes you just want to bam. How many of that don't solve the problem? May make you feel good for a minute. Sometimes you have to deny what you feel like doing and choose a higher life. And as you do that, God can disarm certain things in relationships and even in the spiritual realm. He can dissolve certain situations and circumstances in your life. And you know what you'll do? You'll become more like Christ, and God will bless you in a greater measure than you could ever bless yourself. Does that make sense? Huh? Are you out there? Okay. Then he said, follow me. That entails a long and continuous action in thought, word, and deed. How often do we follow? Daily. In thought, word, and deed. He chose us. Now we need to choose Him. We need to choose to follow Him. God's got a better ideal. Ford doesn't have a better ideal. God's got a better ideal. I want to close. I want to read this quote that I found that I thought was really good. And it talks about our lives. It's about painting the portrait of your life. It says, paint Jesus Christ upon your canvas and then hold Him up to the people, but hold Him up so that not even your little finger can be seen. See, that ought to be our goal. Not that I can be seen, not that I can be praised, not that I can scratch my itch. But listen, if I will exalt Him, you know what He'll do for me? He'll exalt me. Humble yourself, He will lift you up. You lift you up, you're going to go down. Pride goes before a fall. This is about taking up our cross. What is our cross? Us. My life of self is what I have to die to daily. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Prayer team, would you come? This has been a hard one for me to preach. I'd rather tell you how to be... Well, I am telling you how to be extremely blessed. This is the life that will bring the blessing to you. It really is. But it doesn't seem that way sometimes because it's not the easy life. Following Christ, getting saved is easy. Following Christ is a challenge. If you're here today and whatever it is you need from God, if you need prayer for any reason, but particularly if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please don't leave this place today without knowing Him. Please do not leave this place today without surrendering your life to Him. As we sing and we worship, we invite you to worship, but if you have need, please come.